If you will get your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. We will start in verse 8. And this is like the parallel account of Ezra 7:10. Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. This is the best food that the Babylonian kingdom had to offer. In fact, this is the same food that the king ate. So they are not given scraps or rotten food or the wastage. They are getting the most premium, the finest food that the king had to offer them. And I know that I can imagine that this supervisor, this chief of the eunuchs, is dumbfounded why these four Jewish boys would turn their nose up and refuse this great food that anybody in the world would have loved to have eaten. We would have loved to have eaten these meats here, not drink the alcohol, but eaten these meats. It would have been pork and beef. The problem with even the clean meats was they sacrificed them to animals. But as far as the food was concerned, we would have this is a food fit for a king's banquet, is what they were presented with, which is, opposite. This is not like what we see on TV from Africa, and these poor, starving Africans are eating some kind of a mush out of a bowl. I don't know what that is, if it's ground up corn or grain of some kind mixed with some water or something, but it looks worse than oatmeal. And they're just eating it with their hands, and it looks like pig slop, and it may taste like pig slop. But that is not what these children are being served. They are having the finest of food. But then, due to the religious objection here, that these Jewish boys cannot, in any good conscience, and they would be going against God's wishes, partake of these foods and the alcohol. Daniel, being like the ringleader of these three boys, he was like the spokesman, just as Moses and Aaron were the spokesman for the Israelites years before. But here, Daniel's the spokesman for these four boys. He went to the chief of the eunuchs and told him that they have a religious objection to this food, and they cannot, in all any good conscience, defile themselves by eating and drinking this. Okay, now verse 9. God is working providentially behind the scenes. We don't know how God works, but we can see how God operated in the past, and I'm sure in all of our lives, I know definitely in our family's lives, we have seen the hand of God providentially work all the way through. Dad always gave the providence of God credit for being able to meet Mother. And there were lots of things all through Dad's life that he would say that this was the providence of God. This was God's doing, not mine. Doors just happened to open appropriately, and too many things happened that God's hand had to be behind it. He would say these things were not by accident. Okay, God is working in the background here in verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So this chief of the eunuchs here, he was a pagan. His life was on the line that he had to treat these boys well and train them up for the king, because these, at least the best of these, were going to serve in the king's courtyard. So this is what he's been charged with, and he has a great responsibility. He could have been very hardened and said, no, you are going to eat this, or we're going to kill you now, or whatever. We're going to throw you in prison, whatever the case may be. But God had softened his heart and had already been working. He knew that Daniel and his three friends were in a tough predicament here, and God was taking care of his own, just as God years before had taken care of Joseph, and years later will take care of the Messiah as a young child and Mary and Joseph. And so God, when people show that they are righteous and wanting to do God's will, God all through the Bible has helped them facilitate and help them out of perilous situations. And here is a perilous, potentially perilous situation that these boys are putting themselves into by standing up for righteousness. Verse 10. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces look worse than the young men who are your age, your peers, your fellow students? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So this is where this eunuch is saying, I cannot accommodate you because it's an undue hardship on me. But then, coming up here, Daniel's going to give up and come up with his own accommodation that will be acceptable. But this chief of the eunuchs, he's looking out for his own self-interest, and he does have a valid point. He said, if I let you not eat this, you're going to waste away, and the king's going to kill me because I will not be doing what he's charged me with. So verse 11. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now these are the Hebrew names of these three boys. All four of them actually. These are all the Hebrew names. But the other three we only know now by their Chaldean names, their Babylonian names, which is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But verse 12. So this is what Daniel now petitions with his religious accommodation. He says, please test your servants for 10 days. So just a short trial period. And let them give us vegetables to eat and drink and water to drink. So no alcohol and no defiled meats. Then let our appearances be examined before you, and let the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So, after this 10-day trial period, then you examine us versus them, and you decide what to do at that point. Now, this is not Daniel conceding that if you don't think that we're in a good enough position, looking good enough, you think we're losing weight and it's going to jeopardize your life, then we'll start eating these unclean meats. That's not at all what Daniel is saying. He's just telling him, you do as you see fit at that time. The ball's going to be in your court. We're still not going to defile ourselves, but if you want to kill us, you kill us, imprison us, kick us out of the program, you do whatever you want to at this time. But this is what I'm proposing as a religious accommodation, this 10-day trial period of we'll be vegetarians and drink water. Verse 14. So the supervisor consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. Now here's the results. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. So they gained weight better. They looked nicer. Their skin was in better shape than the other children eating the best foods that Babylon had to offer. And here's the decision, the final decision, since Daniel said after the 10-day trial period, so deal with your servants as you see fit. This is how he dealt with it. He said, thus the steward took away their portion of the delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. So this had a rosy ending, a great ending. God was working providentially in the background to make this supervisor amenable to and open to taking Daniel's proposed religious accommodation, and it worked out brilliantly. And these young boys stood in the face of a potential execution, standing up for God's law, because they decided, obviously, long ago, or well, not long ago, these boys aren't very old, but they had previously decided that no matter what, even in a foreign land, even surrounded by pagans, even our parents, I guess they were probably killed or put into slavery, but they're long gone. They're never going to see them ever again. They're not going to have any criticisms. No one's going to criticize them. They could have easily have thought that God had abandoned them. God had forsaken them. But he had not. They were standing true and strong for God, just as Joseph had done centuries before. And it all works out for them. They get a quick judgment and positive reinforcement in their favor, whereas Joseph, it was he got thrown into prison, and it was years down before he saw any positive effects of standing for God's truth. He was put through a longer test than Daniel. They get a quick result here, but it all works out for all of these in the end, and this is a great example for everyone to always stand up for what is right and for God's law, no matter what the situation is or what the consequences may potentially be, and then to think on our feet and to offer religious accommodations for whatever situation we find our way in, because there are alternatives to everything. Things are not always black and white and hard and fast. There is a way to negotiate around things to where someone does not have to violate their deeply held religious beliefs and can still live godly, but then still be acceptable in a pagan and an ungodly world. And this is an example of this today. So we will stop there, and Lord willing, we will pick up with verse 17 next week.